If you'd like to turn with me to Luke 18 and 8, we'll stand for the reading of the word. We're going to go two verses. Put your finger there, and then the other finger go into Hebrews 11 and 6. Luke 18 and 8, and Hebrews 11 and 6. When they're there, just say amen. I've got a few pages turning. All right. The Word of God says in Luke 18 and 8, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Turn over to Hebrews 11 and 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this word. I thank you for this church and God, what you've done in the worship time. God, we come here to worship and glorify you. Now I'm asking you, Lord, to anoint me to preach this word. The word that you've given me, Lord, let it come forth out of my belly by the Holy Spirit of the living God. Let it move through me in a mighty storm through this place, God, touching each and every ear, God, that they will be able to hearers and doers of the word. God, not of myself, of my flesh, but of your spirit, God. Let this come to pass, and God, we're going to glorify you and praise you in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. The Lord's coming back soon. We all know that. If you don't, you should. The signs are showing that the Lord's coming back soon. We know this is coming by the signs of what it says in the Word of God. This question, will he find faith when he comes, kind of shakes you up a little bit, doesn't it? Will he find, when Jesus comes back, will he find faith? This has been on my mind for the past week. Whenever I read this scripture, and this last part of that scripture we just read, that's what he's coming back. He's looking for faith. If he's looking for faith when he comes, what exactly is he looking for? A lot of times we think about what we think about, and when we think of faith, we've read, we've listened to, we've talked about. The dictionary will tell us that faith is a complete trust or a confidence in something or someone. Although that is true, that's not the complete truth. In the world, there's confidence in things. There's things that are not of the Word of God. But God is greater than anything in this world. But he has a truth that's far surpassing than what the man would think. So there's something that Jesus is looking for. The Bible states that without faith, it is impossible to please him. It in itself is an incredible statement. Many times I've read over that scripture, and it kind of just grips you. It's like it's impossible to please God without faith. Yet, it's in the Bible. So there's a purpose in that fact. Now think about that for just a moment. But God put it in there that it's impossible to please him without faith. But also, Jesus is coming back, and he's looking for faith. Now we're going somewhere. Hang on. So in looking at this scripture, if I have no faith, I have no hope. There would be absolutely no way to please God. So again, I will ask you, and this is the title of the message, will Jesus find faith in me? Will Jesus find faith in me? This brings several questions to mind. Do I have faith to be saved? Do I have faith to overcome temptation? Do I have faith to be healed? Do I believe all things in his word? Do I have faith that he will work together all things for my good? Is he truly the rewarder of those diligently seek him? Do I have faith to endure trials and persecution? And they are coming, church. There's a purpose that God put this on my heart. Do I have faith that God will deliver me out of them? These are not easy questions, but they do have an easy answer. And the answer is yes, you and I can. The Bible says that you need not lack in any of these areas. You can walk in faith. It sounds very easy whenever we just read it out of the Bible, but there's also a time of testing. There's also a time of learning and understanding. We know the world is spiraling quickly out of control. We see things all day, every day, that are challenging our faith. Amen? Every day, there's something that you see on the TV or on YouTube or the radio or whatever it may be that's challenging the faith of Jesus Christ, trying to take away the idea that Jesus is not really God, that he's really not going to save you, he's really not coming back, that he's really not the one that's going to heal, he's really not the one that's going to set you free, he's not really the one that's able. You will see that all around the world, all the other religions, they will attack Christianity of the true God more than Christianity attacks any of the others, which doesn't really happen. Now, speaking the truth is one thing, but the fact is being attacked, like I talked about last week, when you go overseas and there's a school and there's Muslims in the school and there's also Christians, but they took and martyred all of them Christian kids. They killed them all, but the Muslim kids they let alive. Martyrdom everywhere in the world as a Christian, we will be also in this nation. So why do we say, will he find faith? Everything is going to challenge our faith. Do we truly believe in who he is? As we were talking about, many of you know what happened in Texarkana last week as a gunman went into the, actually in the parking lot, he had an automatic weapon, a shotgun and a pistol and tourniquets and everything else and a belt full of bullets. And he had them in the vehicle. Now, I've got lots of calls and lots of texts the next morning about what happened and so forth. But we know that after he scuffled with the police that they actually called, service was going on. They had to drag him out. He was still trying to grab things off of the officer's belt. He had ill will in mind. Do we have faith, church? Do we have faith that God will deliver us? He delivered them there. Because something could have happened. You say, well, it's just a coincidence. Somebody caught it. Come on. Somebody caught it, and they decided to call the police. Now, we have security measures in this church, and they do too. But you can't control everything. We must have faith in God. We must believe who he says that he is, not who we think or what we have surmised in our own mind. We have to go by what the Word of God says, not what we think, feel, or want it to be. So, it is important to remind ourselves that Jesus is looking for faith when he returns. We know the word is spiraling out of control in this world we have. Every time we look at what's going on, I think about what I look at every time I watch a commercial in between something I'm trying to watch on YouTube. I don't have cable or anything. So I look at YouTube, and that may be something like The Rifleman or something that I can actually watch. But in between there, when you're waiting, you're trying to push the skip button. What happens? The things that are trying to push, the idealism to try to penetrate our mind, to get our minds off of what could be faith in Christ Jesus. Everything, every fiery dart comes against our mind. As the helmet of salvation, there's a purpose in that particular point that is the helmet of salvation. For every single fiery dart will fire against that mind for that purpose, to take away our salvation. Everything is for that very purpose. Satan come to kill, steal, and destroy. His purpose is to take away our salvation ultimately. So every time something's fired against our mind and it rattles around, or as the word says, excuse me, if it fires, it's a fiery dart, it explodes into a major thought process. And we get into this battlefield of the mind thinking, what ifs? Someone preached about that a few weeks ago. What if? It is clear that we are busy doing something all the time. However, I want to point out something to us. A study of American Christians stated that 60% do not know half of the Ten Commandments or what the four Gospels are in the New Testament. 60% American Christians. 80% of the Christians in this survey believe that the quote, "God helps those that help themselves," is a direct quote from the Bible. Let me save you. It's not. It's not in the Bible. People of God, our faith is by the Word of God, by the hearing and the doing of the Word of God. That's how we build up our most holy faith. What am I getting at? That Jesus is coming back for a church with faith. That's what he said in his word. Also, we know that we cannot please him without faith. Now, there's more implications to that. We'll get to that in just a moment. But we must see that not knowing the word is directly correlated to faith. How many people are walking around today ignorant of what the Bible calls faith? How many people are living completely unaware of what Jesus wants from their lives? Romans 10 and 17 tells us, faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. But how many are hearing it? If not knowing the word of God takes away your faith, then how much faith do you feel you have if you only hear the word of God once a week? Hello? I can hear crickets in here about right now. If I hear the word, if I'm reading the word once a week, how much faith will I have when the enemy comes? And he's coming. How much faith do I have to walk with God in hand by knowing his truth, his purpose, his plans for my life, what is for good and not evil? How could I possibly know? Without faith, it's impossible to please him. Hebrews 10 and 35 and 36 says, don't cast away confidence, which has great reward. Patience, that after we do the will of God, we might receive the promise. No one likes to be without confidence. You don't and I don't. Nobody likes being incompetent of anything. And while we need confidence, it is a vital for us. Confidence alone is not faith. Confidence alone is not faith. Psalms 20 and 7 says this, some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord God Almighty. I can trust when I turn that key in my truck after I get out of church tonight, it's going to start and I'm going to drive myself home. I can trust in that, but that doesn't mean there's really faith in that. Because it might not. But God will. God will. It might not start, but God always will be there. Even to the end of time, there's no question God's always going to be there. There's no question that I can look to him. The one that's a rewarder of my faith will always be there. The Word of God asks the question, will Jesus find faith when he comes? In our minds, we quickly say yes, but I want to show you what the Word says that he will be looking for. Hebrews 10 and 38 says, the just live by faith. They don't draw back. They know God has no pleasure in us when we draw back from him. What does that mean? That means when we draw back from having faith in whatever God has said, when we decide that we want to be healed and we draw back and we really don't believe, when we decide that we want to be delivered and we decide that we don't believe, when we decide that he's going to supply the need and we decide that we don't believe, that's drawing back. We should never question what the Word of God says. We should question the thoughts that come into our mind that attack the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, because he is able, but yet we have a battlefield right here that's going to decide whether we believe or we don't in that truth. Hebrews 11 and 1 says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. If you have the substance, you wouldn't have to have faith to hope for it, would you? If I had it, I wouldn't have to have faith. Amen? But it says that faith is the substance of things not seen. Hoping for means patience, right? Because you don't have it just yet. That's also a fruit of the Spirit. Amen? We'll get there in just a moment as well. But also we must realize and believe and understand that what he is looking for, believing, diligently seeking him. If I'm seeking him with everything that I am, I'm looking, I'm discerning the word, I'm praying, I'm fasting, I'm looking for what God's truth is, it must be in the word of God. There's nothing that catches God off guard. It is only him that is the truth. He knows the beginning for the end right now. So he knows exactly where we are. Hebrews 11 and 3, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Faith, because we know God made something out of nothing. Now hear me right now. He made something out of nothing. Whenever he spoke, the worlds and everything was completed when he spoke it into existence. So when we're dealing with some kind of situation and the enemy says it's beyond God, when we decide that we take it out of God's hands and we decided to put it in our own hands and say, no, I want to get a second opinion. Come on. We all battle this in our mind. We all battle it whenever we're sitting there and we're wondering, because the enemy, every time we have that moment of time, he's firing those darts one after another, trying to take away your most holy faith. Because the word of truth is always going to be the truth, and that's what we're judged by. We know that God is able. If he spoke, it became. Some would say whenever he healed the blind man, the one that didn't have any eyes, that he put the spittle on the ground, they moved it around, and he made an eye and stuck it right back in him. Some have preached that. I'm not saying that's true, but it's been preached. It could be possible. He is the creator, but that same creator is able to do that then. He's able to do it now, and he's still the same as he was yesterday. If he healed and created then why wouldn't he not do it now? The biggest thing that we have to fight today in the world and the apostasy in the church is they're not preaching the correct Jesus, the one that's still the same yesterday and today, the one that still feels, the one that still heals, the one that's still able to deliver, that God, that Jesus, not someone else that says, no, he used to do that, but he doesn't anymore. It's happening. In churches around the world, they said, he used to do that. He used to heal. But that was for back then, for a purpose. That's not what the Bible says. He said, I'm still the same. So you can depend upon me. If he was not the same, then we might as well throw away the whole book. Amen? There would be no truth in it. Hebrews 11 and 6, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Seek him, what does that mean? Think about it for a moment. What does the Bible say about the need you have? Have you been researching it? Have you been looking in the Bible to find out an answer for whatever your need is? I'm asking the questions. What truth has God revealed in prayer to you? Have we fasted for understanding of the scripture? He did promise he would reward us, right? So if I put in the effort and I believe, then he also said he would reward my faith. That's what the word said, did it not? It's right there in black and white. The word of God said he would reward our faithfulness to the word and walk in the truth thereof. So if we actually believe it, we will stand upon it, and then we will diligently seek him, and then we can be expecting for that what we're asking for. So what have I done? Am I truly walking in faith? Is Jesus going to find faith in me when he comes? I've asked myself that very question, as we all should. Hebrews 11, 8, by faith Abraham was obedient and went. If he had not gone, he would never have received his inheritance. So what is God asking you? Is he asking you to go? He's asking you to believe? He's asking, what is he asking? Oftentimes, the biggest difficulty we have is that we have a hard time listening. Many times they said we got two ears and one mouth. There's a purpose for that. And I believe God has a sense of humor, so I'm thinking that's true. We should do a whole lot less talking and a whole lot more listening. But when you're praying to God, He does answer, and He will answer it in the way that only He can. And there won't be a question. If you're praying specifics, He will be specific God. No one can get the glory that God gets if it's specific. We must understand that when we're praying this way, we know that God's going to be glorified because it's specifically pointed to Him. For He's to be glorified, for He's the one that answers. Hebrews 11 and 9 says, tells Abraham sojourned in the strange country while a while, but God did not change His promise. God was the builder of the city that Abraham was looking for, but God is the builder of the city we're going to. And He's also the builder of our faith. Have you ever felt like God was building your faith? Poke your little hand up. Yeah? He's like, God, you got to be building my faith because I'm going through it. I'm going through the ringer and the ringer and the ringer. It doesn't seem like it's ever going to change. It seems like every challenge that I go through is challenging my faith. What do I believe? And the truth is this, that we should rejoice in those trials because there's a purpose in that fact, that we are to be more than conquerors through Christ Jesus, not in ourselves, but through Him. Did you always appreciate what you were having to deal with to build your faith? Absolutely not. When I preached months ago about the crisis of faith and the difficulty that I had to walk through whenever my mom was passing, I dealt with that very thing. This has been several years ago now when she passed, but I dealt with that particular point. What do I truly believe? Every single one of us will walk down that aisle. What do you believe? Do I believe that He's still the healer even if He don't heal? Come on. Does my life, everything going on with me, change who God is? No. We like to make it about us, don't we? Every time we point to ourselves and say, God, why not? But that's not what the Word says. What does the Word say? Do you think Abraham appreciated every moment that he had to walk through when he sojourned through that country that was not his own? We oftentimes think about people in the Bible that they're not real. They're just characters. It's just a story. But they were real people just like you and me, except it had a little bit harder. They didn't have cars or air conditioning. They didn't have fast food restaurants to drive up into. They didn't have anything. But he sojourned in a land. But he also was called the father of faith. He was steadfast. We may not always see it. It may not look like it's coming to pass, but God does not go by looks. Come on. He creates things out of nothing. We need to get a hold of that. He creates things out of nothing. Is it too hard for God to make that job appear for you? Brother Steve, he's not here tonight, but he's talked about and testified about the job that he has he shouldn't even have. He loves the job he's doing. He gets to witness in the jails. Is he a respecter of person? Is God? So what if we're seeking out with our whole heart, should we expect these things, as long as they're lining up with the Word of God, that it would come to pass? Should we understand that He is the respecter of person, that we, He's no respecter of person, we should not be either. He does not need the doctor's okay. He doesn't need our boss's okay. He doesn't need the president's okay. He doesn't need anybody's okay to do only what He can do. There's no okay anywhere else because He's going to do what He said He would do. If we steadfast and continue to move forward in Christ Jesus, believing in our faith that is challenged, then we'll see it come to pass. He is looking for faith in you and me when he comes. So if he is a God who creates, then you have to know that he will create and build faith in you, and if you will allow it. Now that's the key. If I will allow faith to be built in me, he'll build faith. We don't like how he builds faith, though, do we? Because oftentimes it comes in testing. When you go through a test, where do you go? Heaven forbid, online. But if you go to the Word of God, which is where he wants us to go in our testing, to build up our most holy faith, then therefore, once we have moved past it, our faith grows. Purpose for faith. Every man and woman has been given a measure of faith. Every single one of us. You know that the same measure of faith that was given to you was the same one that gave to Apostle Paul? Same measure. You question that? But he didn't stay there, did he? There was a purpose for us to build up our most holy faith. God has a purpose for us to move forward in our faith. But you can walk the road. He can find faith in you when he comes. Hebrews 12 and 2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. We are looking unto Jesus. He is the author and the authority on our road of faith. The authority. If he's the author, then he's also the writer of it. Then he has the authority of it. So then, therefore, we know that we're in the palm of his hands, as it says in the Old Testament. So we know that God is overall and he is sovereign. So we so many times are wavered. Only we can take ourselves out of his hands of protection. Hello? The devil can't do it. Demons can't do it. Others can't do it. But you can. I can. Without God, we can move wherever we'd like to because that's freedom of choice, free reign. He didn't cause the sickness or the misfortune, the devil did. No matter the road that we are sent on, no matter the road that we're walking, God said and promised that he would be through the end of that road. Many times we quote the scriptures, many times we talk about it, but does our faith prove it? Does our faith prove what we say? Or are we just saying it? Will we have the faith that Jesus is looking for when he comes back for his church? Sobering thought about who he is. But take heart, we have an answer. Jesus not only said he is where our faith begins, but he also said that he is the finisher of our faith. He endured the cross because of the joy of doing it for those that believe in him. He despised the shame of it, but he deemed it worth it. We were worthy of it. I don't know about you, but I don't always feel worthy. Our enemy likes to condemn us and say we're not worthy of the salvation of the Lord. We're not worthy of Jesus Christ being thrown on the cross and being crucified and stabbed in the side and a crown of thorns, nailed to a cross, became sin so that we didn't no longer have to suffer. The enemy comes and tries to attack us in our mind, decide that, hey, I'm not worthy of that. Come on. Will we deem it worth it to seek him with our whole heart, truly seeking his face, humbling ourselves like our Savior did when he went to the cross? Will we pray and turn from sin and know that God will hear us and not only forgive, but heal? We are looking to Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. Jesus is looking for faith when he returns. So what is Jesus truly looking for when he comes back? He's looking for a reflection of himself in you and me. Romans 8, 29 and 30 says this, to be conformed to the image of the Son, that he might be firstborn among many brethren, and whom he foreordained, them he also called, and whom he called, he also justified, and them that he justified, he also glorified. He's looking for the reflection. From Genesis to Revelation is about Christ. Every part of the Bible is for that very purpose, for us to be perfected, the saints. We know we're not perfect. By the blood of Jesus Christ, I've been made righteous. The sins are far as the east is from the west. He's forgotten them against me. I no longer have to pay the penalty because of Christ Jesus. It doesn't matter how hard your road is. Hebrews 13 and 5 tells us that he will never leave us or forsake us. It doesn't matter what you are dealing with. Hebrews 13 and 6 lets us know that we can come boldly and say that the Lord is my helper, and not to fear what man shall do unto us. My faith believes what the book of John says. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. So faith tells me that he is always there. My faith goes on to believing that all things were made by him, and without him was nothing made that was made. So if I know that he made and created all things, and all things were for him and by him, then also whatever I'm going through, it doesn't matter what it is. He is still able to deliver me. He's still able to heal me. He's still able to supply the need that I may have. But the enemy continues to bombard our minds with the lies. One lie after another. If you have a lot of them, you start to believe it. His whole purpose is every avenue that's more stuff that's going against the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. If he can't make you fall or fail, he'll make you busy. If you're busy, you're too busy to pray. If you're busy, you're too busy to read. If you're busy, come on. The enemy has a purpose to make us not believe what God said is his truth. That very truth that makes us free. That very truth is our salvation. That very truth that we can depend on. That very truth is our rock of our salvation. That very truth that we believe. What is our faith in? Faith and faith is nothing but faith in the Word of God and what the truth is, and it's been built for a purpose. So faith tells me he is always there. My faith goes on to believe that all things were made by him. My faith believes that he was and is the light that shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. In a dark world, he is the light that the darkness cannot comprehend, meaning the fact that only through Christ Jesus that we able to see is the lamp unto our feet. Only through Jesus Christ that we have deliverance. Only through Jesus Christ do we have truth in a dark, dark world. We're always looking to him. But without the Word, what do we have? Verse 10 tells me he was in the world, but the world did not know him. 12 tells me those that believe upon him, he gave power to become sons and daughters of God. By faith, I'm a son or a daughter of the Almighty God that created all things. By faith. We continue to ask what this faith is. We must understand that in Galatians 5 tells us faith is a fruit of the Spirit, which also means it must grow and grow by reading the Word. However, that faith must be used to grow. Now we get to the point of Paul, do we not? All the things that Paul went through built up his most holy faith. One thing Paul did know as the scribes, and as a Pharisee, he knew the Word. He had the Word in him. He didn't know the truth of who Jesus Christ was until he was knocked from whatever he was writing. But he knew the Word. So now, at this point, knowing the word, his faith was being built every single time he come against hardship. He went through a lot of hardship, a lot more than we would ever see in our whole life, but he was able to overcome it until the very end. But he finished this race of faith. We know that our faith will be tested. We don't have it until we have been tested, and we still have it afterwards. If I was a championship boxer and I was going for the championship and I was boxing the other guy, if I beat him at the end of it, I'm still the champion. But if I do not, do we truly have faith until it's been tested and we still have it after the test? Think about it. Think about what God is saying. This builds up our most holy faith. Romans 10 and 17 tells us that our faith is directly proportional to the revelation knowledge that we have through God's word, which is used during tests and trials. Directly proportional to us knowing the word of God. So when we go through the trials and tribulations of the world, do we go to the word? Or do we go where it's easy? I think we've all been guilty of going to somewhere it's easy. Oftentimes, we go to someone else, and that's okay. You may go to your pastor, you may go to a friend, you may go to a prayer partner, or whatever it may be. That's okay. But ultimately, it's going to be between you and God. The Word of God, searching out diligently. So whenever you spend time with anyone else, your loved one, your spouse, you're showing them that you love them. Do you not think that God himself wants to spend time with you? He said, come to me alone in prayer. So when we have that time alone with him, we're showing that we love and respect and believe what his word is telling us. That time spent, that time with an almighty God, it's amazing to me that God of all creation wants to spend time with me. Knowing everything I've done, all of my past, the enemy wants to throw it back in your face, but you have the word that says, I will not be condemned. Get behind me, Satan. I don't have to be. I don't have to go back to that old man. I don't have to be that. I've been redeemed by a blood that is not being able to be tainted by sin. It's not blood of bulls and goats. It's the blood of Jesus Christ, which overcomes everything else. It became sin so he could nail it to a cross. And when he was risen 3 days later, he knew not only was it finished then, but he completed the work. When he made sport of the principalities, power of the air, and he took the keys to death and the grave. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. When he comes back with a shout, he'll have eyes of fire. He will have power, as he does now. But he'll come back a different way. That is the Lord Jesus Christ that we serve. A conqueror over all enemies, over all sickness, over all doubt. Every enemy will bow. The demons of doubt will bow. The demons of sickness will bow. Do you not think there's demons behind those things? There are. Why do he think he's trying to fight for so much doubt in your mind? Because that's the only place that he can go. It's the only place that he can go is in the mind. As stated, that all things were produced after its own kind. When we are grafted into the family of God, we are to reproduce after our Heavenly Father. Faith will be produced. We should bring forth fruit, but as with a plant, you take away the nourishment, the water, the plant will not grow, but it will die. The same is true. If we take away the watering of the word in our life, our faith will die and there will be no fruit of any kind. Back to the word. If we let carnal knowledge of the word choke out the word of God, we will become double-minded and unstable in all of our ways, and we will not receive from the Lord, as James 1, 7 and 8 warns us. If we get away from the word, If we get to the point where we don't read the word, and oftentimes we take quotes off of Facebook or Instagram or something that may not be completely true, and we take that as the word because we didn't look it up for ourselves, and that incomplete truth, just like Satan did with Christ, incomplete words, what do we believe? Have we put effort into the fact that we want to know Jesus Christ for who he truly is, or what people say he is? I don't want somebody else's opinion. I want to know him for myself. I know that he's my Savior. I know that he is my healer. But do you? All those would say yes. How about our faith? When he comes back, will he find faith? 2 Corinthians 10, 4, and 5 tells us to bring thoughts into captivity and to the obedience to Christ. Obedience to Christ. Think about that particular part. Just that one sentence. Every thought into captivity to Christ. Didn't say Jason. Said Christ. Because I can't do anything. This must mean there is some effort in this. We will fight our thoughts. The battle in the mind is real and can take us out if we are not full of God's truth. Whenever the enemy comes and battles you in your mind, do we come back with him with the sword, the rhema word, now? That truth to defeat our enemy. That word that will defeat our enemy right now. How much word do we have in us? I know it's hard, but we're getting to the end of this thing. We're getting to the end. We must have faith that can be seen and found. Romans 12 and 2 tells us not to be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Will you and I allow the word to conform our thoughts to the truth? Think about it. Because it's really you and I that have that power. Will we allow the word to conform us? Will we read it for what it truly says? Will we believe it for what it really is? Will he find faith in you and I when he returns? I don't know about you. There's a shaking coming. The word tells us. What will be shaken will be shaken. We must know who he is in us. We must walk in faith, not in the word, but Jesus Christ, that very truth. In closing, Brother Chris, do you and I have the faith that Jesus is looking for? Will he come back for his bride ready with steadfast faith in the finished work of the cross? We'll be steadfast all the way to the end. Many times we've read the stories, we've watched the movies, we thought about things of what it may look like. But he said in the last days when he comes back, it'll be the days of Noah, the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. People will be given in marriage and married. Everything will be going on as it is. We know the apostasy, the sinness, and all in the world, that's all coming to pass. It's all here. Some people say, hey, but it was worse when Hitler was around. Hitler didn't kill 65 million babies. Come on. That one thing alone moves that out. Had somebody use that to me on the other day when I told them that it's coming close. That you better get ready. You better get ready. I don't know the day. I don't know the hour, but I know the signs, as the word says. Are we ready? Will our faith in him make us to the holy city? What is it that I believe? What is it I have faith in? Is it faith that my vehicle is going to start and I'm going to drive out of here? Or is it faith in something that is unchangeable? God created all things and nothing was created without him, but all things were created for him. It's hard for our feeble minds to even equate that, because we don't have any idea how to equate eternity. A million years has just begun eternity. We can't equate that. But God, an infinite God that made man his image, loves us so much that he went to the cross, died a horrible death, but was rose in 3 days. That makes Christ different than every other God in the world. He's not a made out of rocks, stone, wood, or feeble man's imagination. You may hear everything going on right now. People are squabbling about AI. People are squabbling about what's going on over there. People are squabbling about rumors of war. Yep, absolutely. It's all going on. But will I have faith? Do we struggle in believing what Jesus said in John 14? He that believes on me, the works I do, he shall do also and greater or more. That's what that means. Everyone in the room, please stand. Do we believe that we have faith to move mountains? The mountains we create in our own mind. The Word tells us, I just read it, are we going to be able to do greater things? Jesus raised the dead, blind eyes open, crippled were able to walk. Do we have faith to see that truth? Let us be honest with ourselves. Do we struggle with true faith? It is okay to be honest. We all have struggled at some point or another. However, the Bible is clear that Christ is the finisher and the author of our faith. Doesn't that bring peace to you? He didn't leave us just out there and say, figure it out on your own. He gave us the book, his word, his truth, and even told us the end. He told us the truth. He told us that he was going to defeat our enemy once and for all and cast him into the lake of fire, him and all of his, and all those that don't believe. God, give us everything that we need. But the enemy has sat here over and over and attacked us and worn down the people of God. But the world is looking at the church. We look at it as persecution. But the world's actually looking at the church. What are you going to do, church? Are we going to have faith when someone spits in your face? When someone smites you with the back of their hand as they did Jesus? I'm not trying to be dreary. I'm not trying to go down and make it seem horrible. But we have a life to gain in glory. Will he find faith in you and me? Every one of us here. We all struggled with faith. Would you come around the altars? Let's spend time with Jesus. Let him speak to us. Let him talk to us about finishing our faith. He authored our faith. So many times we think the road we're walking on is so difficult, so hard, but Jesus said that he's the author and the finisher. So therefore, he's not confused and he's not surprised by where we are, but he has given us a promise. Let us pray.